Amen. And we intend to base what we believe on the Bible, because the Bible stands. All right, we're going to start our... Let's see. We're going to start the lesson today, and we're going to actually continue in what we've been talking about, the church, the body of Christ, some of its characteristics, and some of its differences with Israel. Israel is a different entity, an earthly entity, and the body of Christ is God's heavenly agency for retaking his authority in the heavens. The heavens are not clean at the moment. But Paul, we'll start in Acts here. Paul was a prisoner in Rome, and we'll find out why, just why it was he was a prisoner in Rome in Acts 28. Let's start in verse 16. And when we came to Rome, let me just check. Do I have sound? Okay, good. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come, so it's not meaning a chief person, but devout Jews, the ones that were chief or leaders among the group of Jews there, when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. For this cause, therefore, for what cause? Because of what he preached and was captured and delivered into the hands of the Romans. For this cause, therefore, I called for you to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with these chains, for that preaching he did. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So Paul had made a dent the churches that he had established had gotten a reputation among the Jews. The Jews didn't like him, and we know that from when he went synagogue to synagogue. After he spoke, they chased him out of town often, and they disputed against him many times. So, verse 23, And when they had appointed him a day, there came unto him many into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So he's still doing this remnant ministry, this work that he was sent to do in Acts 13. And he's still continuing with it. He says that by all means I might save some. And so it goes on to verse 24, And some believed. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So those that believed, that was the last we hear of any of those Jews that he preached to before the destruction of Jerusalem, and they were all cast out of the area. That's the last that we hear of any believing the gospel that Paul preached and coming into the body of Christ. So the last of that remnant ministry there. So Paul was in chains for preaching the gospel about Christ crucified. And he says, For the hope of Israel I'm bound with this chain. Paul is saying that Israel's hope of salvation in the future is that gospel which I preach. So let's continue looking on at some of the interaction between the different groups of churches, between Israel's group of churches and the body of Christ group of churches, which had believed Paul's gospel delivered to him, delivered only to him by Jesus Christ from heaven after he had ascended back to heaven. In these verses that follow, the two groups of different churches are easily seen communicating and interacting with each other as separate entities. And in these verses show two ways to be justified. These first two verses we're going to look at in Acts 13. They show Israel's way by the law and Paul's way by his gospel into the body of Christ. And let's see what it says here, starting in Acts 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, and he's just described Jesus having been nailed to the tree, slain, taken down, put in a sepulcher, dead, he died, was buried, and then raised from the dead, in verses 28 to 30. And he says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Well, this is in Acts 13. Acts 2 and Acts 3, Peter was just preaching the remittance of sins, that their sins could be, the punishment for their sins could be put off, could be stalled, remitted until a later time. So, this is new. This is something that could perk up their ears. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe, not just Israel here, but all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So not just justified from your past sins, this is talking about all things, and it's a present tense thing, are justified. So Israel's kingdom, the church that was the beginning of that kingdom on earth, the taking foothold on earth, that little flock with the 12 apostles in Acts, it was zealous after the law, zealous of the law. And we can see that in Acts 21, as late as Acts 21. They still existed. They were not blended into the body of Christ. They were not something that the body of Christ became. Here you've got Israel still a separate entity. Acts 21:20. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they're all zealous of the law. Well, you know, we just read verses where Paul preached that by the law of Moses is one way to be justified, but you can't be justified by everything that way. But you can be by this man, this Jesus Christ that died for your sins and was raised for your justification, by believing in him and trusting your salvation to him. So when one mixes the two ministrations, those two programs, by trusting in the law too, as well as in the justification by God's grace, then he has fallen from grace. He's not accepting God's grace. He's saying, no, it's not good enough. I got to add something. I've got to add my works. Let's look at Galatians 5:4, what he says about that. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. So that's another gospel. That's not what Paul was preaching. It's another gospel that Paul mentions in Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, and Galatians 3, 1 to 5, too. So let's look at those verses. Galatians 1, 6 we'll start at. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, unto you, let him be accursed. Notice he's very specific. He's talking about the gospel that Paul preached, and it's the one that he preached to those Galatians. If anybody else preaches to those Galatians what Paul, you know, another gospel other than what Paul preached, unto them, let them be accursed from you. So, as we said before, verse 9, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now, did Paul have power to curse people to hell? I never read of any power that Paul had to curse people to hell. The power Paul had was given, that he was given anyway by Christ, was the power of God unto salvation, to dispense that gospel, not cursings. So what is he saying? Well, hint. Here's a hint. Let him. And remember the understood, the concept of the understood word. You let him, you Galatians, let him be accursed from you. In other words, don't try to curse him yourself, but let it happen. There, he's the one preaching a foreign gospel, preaching something other than what Christ has issued for people to preach to people like those Galatians, or to even people like us nowadays. So let him be accursed is what it's what Paul also said in Romans 16, verses 17 to 18. He said it in 1 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7, and Titus 3, 10 and 11. Let's look at those instructions to us, actually, in Romans. They could apply to us. There were some people there that were in that same condition, and Paul mentions them in Romans 11, I think it's 11, 32. Before I leave that, let me just check that. Hold on just a second here. Romans 11, get myself in trouble. Is it 32? For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. So this was, you know, Romans was written after he had had his temple vision, but before he was sent to all. And so he's in his doctrine here, he's teaching about what he knows. He's not preaching the gospel to all people, to goyim, to people like us yet, but he is saying that God will have mercy, might have mercy upon all. He knows that concept already. It's been revealed to him that he is going to give the gospel to all people in the future. So, let's go on with these instructions here. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. So he's talking about the doctrine which you learned from me, the doctrine I taught, because it is different than the doctrine Peter taught. Peter didn't talk about personal salvation. He talked about a national salvation. And the nation of Israel ruling the world with Christ on the throne. So going on to Romans 16:18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches, that's what you get at a used car lot. Good words and fair speeches, and that's the idea of those words there. No offense, if there are any used car salesmen in the group here or listening as we speak, but by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And they deceive themselves, too. But let's go on to 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. First chapter. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. They affirm not from God, not from Paul's doctrine to us, But they affirm from the law being taught. The law was taught to Israel. It was given to Israel. And it was given to prove to Israel that they were sinners and that they needed more than the law. They needed God's grace to save them. But it says, desiring to be teachers of the law. They missed the point, in other words. You've got people today that miss the point. Miss the point of the law and miss the point of God's grace. And often they miss the gospel because of that. Okay, let's go on to Romans 6:14. Just the opposite. What does sin have to do with us? Sin has to do with people that are under the law, and the law exposes that sin. But for us, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. God's grace is the plan by which He's working with people today. And it's not just an isolated case, like with Noah, or other people that grace was mentioned with. Jesus Christ came full of grace and truth. Well, it was gracious of God to send Christ to be the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb for Israel, as well as to be the ransom for all people that was later testified in due time. So let's go on with the other set of verses here. Titus 3, verses 10 and 11 say the same thing. After, starting at the beginning, a man that is an heretic after the second, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. They're mud preachers, M-U-D, you know, mixed up doctrine. They're mixing together what God has divided, mixing law and the gospel that was given to Paul for us, God's grace. What God hath put asunder, let no man join. So, well, let's go on and look further here. We had mentioned that Galatians 3, 1 through 5 matches this also. So we'll start in Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. And you can tell Paul has a heart for them. And he's not cursing them. he's saying that they've got a wandering spirit, kind of. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the law, the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? So, did you catch that there? That sequence. He mentions earlier up there in verses, in verse 2 and 3, well, the verses we just read, he mentions law, and then flesh, and then law. By the works of the law, are you now made perfect by the flesh, by the works of the law? Trying to please God by works of the law is the flesh. And that's what Israel is about, isn't it? They're an earthly people. They're going to rule on earth. That's what the promise always was, the promised land, that they would inhabit the land. And it hasn't happened yet. God didn't break His promise, though. He will make it happen. It will happen in the future. Those in the body of Christ have already had all their sins forgiven. That's their, it's part of their entrance. They're believing the gospel that Christ died for every one of their sins. And thus they're baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Those in Israel's kingdom have their sins remitted until those who endure to the end have their sins forgiven when Christ returns to earth at their Day of Atonement. So first, those in the body of Christ have already had their sins forgiven. And let's look at that now. We'll look in Ephesians 2. We'll see what documents that, what Christ put in writing about that. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins. So it's not talking about people being good enough by the law. We're dead in sins. Hath he quickened us together, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Write those words down, emblazon them in your mind. You are saved. If you're a believer, it's a current thing. It's not something you're waiting to be saved if you can endure to the end, like Israel had in their doctrine, in their teachings. Go on down a few verses to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's something God does to you. He makes you. I'm trying to think where that is. That's in makes us to drink into one spirit in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by grace, it doesn't say for by grace will you be saved. It's not a future thing for us. It's a done deal. For by grace are you saved through faith. All right, secondly, those in Israel's kingdom church have their sins remitted until those who endure to the end have their sins forgiven at the return of Christ to earth. And we can see that as we look in Peter's teaching to Israel. Remember, Peter taught Israel, not all men. There weren't any Gentiles being addressed by Peter. He spoke to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to Israel. If you look in Acts 2, 14, verses 14, verse 22, and verse 36, just two verses before what we're going to look at now. But three times in that sermon, he goes through and he specifies he's talking only to Israel. So in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, now that's Israel again, unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now there's works mentioned, isn't it? But it's not mentioned to us, is it? It's mentioned to Israel that he's talking about. They did have to have works to verify their faith, works that were produced by their faith. And so he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, not forgiveness yet, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they did. But notice what it says in there too, every one of you. They had to, every one of them, do that. And Paul, Peter goes on in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Well, he didn't send him back then. He's yet to come. And it is prophesied, or the mystery is revealed in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in 1 Corinthians 15. But every one of them, repented of their sins, those Jews, had they repented, turned back to Christ, changed their mind about their sins and their crucifying the Lord Jesus and their stoning of Stephen, Holy Ghost filled Stephen, had they repented, they would fall under that Leviticus, 26 verses 40 to 42, and 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it is, and 1 John 1:9, they all say the same thing. For Israel to repent of their apostasy and return to the Lord and believe. Had they all returned, it says every one of you in Acts 2:38, Christ would have returned then. And the kingdom would have begun, starting with the tribulation, 7 years, that were remaining in Daniel's 70 sevens that were prophesied. Let's look in Acts 15. The two groups of churches are seen there. It's pretty evident. We looked briefly before. They're communicating and interacting with each other. Let's start in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea, now Antioch is down, it's lower in elevation from Jerusalem, from Judea. And it says, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, saying, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when, therefore, Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And it was determined that they go to Jerusalem because Jerusalem was where the false teaching had come from. Not because Jerusalem had any authority over Paul or Paul's doctrine taught in Antioch, but because that's where those fellows came from that were teaching you had to be circumcised as well as believe. And which was, you know, I mean, they didn't understand. Israel did have to, but these people, they didn't understand that God was doing something new through Paul. A pattern, as it's called in 1 Timothy 1:16, that it was in Paul first, that Paul was the very first one saved in that manner, and it was a pattern for us. And that's all that remains by which God saves today. If you're not following that pattern of salvation to get to God, you're not getting to God. It's the only way God is working today, according to the scriptures. The latest scriptures that God has written to us in the Bible, not some exterior writing that somebody wrote or even somebody might have stuck in the covers like Apocrypha or something. But let's look further in Acts 15. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all the things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, now these were believers, apparently believers, this is talking about in the church or from the church in Jerusalem, people that had been Pharisees but believed that Jesus was the Christ. It says they believed, saying that it was needful needful to circumcise them, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they're teaching what they knew. You know, they went up to Antioch to try and correct things, I guess, to correct God. You hear them, people trying to correct God today when they change the wording of the scriptures and say, well, God didn't mean it this way, he meant it this way, the other way. Believe your Bible. God put it in writing, trust what he said, not what somebody else says about it, whether it's me or anybody else. Acts 15:6, and the apostles and elders came, that would be not any elders that, like those that Paul mentions that were assigned to feed the poor believers, the poor poor saints at Jerusalem, not those elders. This is before that. It's not before it. It's the elders of the church at Jerusalem. It's elders. They had elders back in Moses' time. You know, through the years, Jerusalem, not just Jerusalem, the church that Christ started in Matthew 16 had elders. The church in the wilderness had elders. So that was a Jewish, it was more likely a kingdom function for those, that kingdom people that was to be a king. They knew they were to be a kingdom people. It had been prophesied in Exodus 19. Look down at verse 12. And all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And then verse 19, wherefore, so James sums it up and he says, my sentence is that we trouble them not. So Leave them alone. They're a different group. In other words, they've got their doctrine. We've got ours. We trouble them not. From among the Gentiles are turned to God. But that we write unto them that they, abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. So there's four things, not 613 laws, four things that they mention. And he goes on and he says that if you do it, you're doing good if you can do these four things. So it's not a command, it's a request, not a condescension. I'm trying to think of the word that fits that. It's a consenting, I guess, that the body of Christ will go through this. They'll do this little bit of a hardship at that time because of what's going on, because there are still Jews that could be won into the body of Christ that Paul was sent after from the work there in Acts 13, and that he talks about in Acts 19 when he wrote Romans 11 verse 5, that there was this remnant according to the election of grace that was yet to be saved. And Paul said, I do all these things that some might be saved. So let's close with the two verses toward the end there. In Acts 15, we'll look at 23 and 24 and then close. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So in other words, there's us and there's them, they're saying. You know, there's a separation there. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So there's Peter and James and John, James speaking it, but they're in agreement that those believers that believe the gospel that was given to Paul in those churches that he established, they don't have to keep the law. The law has nothing to do with them. The law was given to Israel. The law pertaineth to Israel, Romans 9 and 4. So there's, I'm looking for that word again, there's agreement or consent that they are a different group. And they have different standards that they're going by. They're under grace. I mean, he doesn't go as far as to say that here. But Peter goes even further in 2 Peter, and we'll get to that another time. We need to close here. But 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16 calls Paul's writing a scripture and says that Paul is led of God. He's the way to go now. So and 1 Peter... Or 2 Peter 1:12, I believe it is. I believe he's talking there about the present truth being what Paul. You know, it's later. 2 Peter is late, one of the later ones that Peter wrote, and I believe he's saying that Paul's way has become the way to be saved now. I think, you know, after the end of Acts, it was the only way to be saved. Whereas before Paul was saved, the only way to be saved, according to Acts 4:12, was by the name of Jesus and what Peter preached. But from the time Paul was saved to the end of Acts, there you had both ways available, both ways being preached, and you could see this interaction that we've looked at a little bit today going on between the two groups. All right, I'm done for today. Any comments or questions?